mothers. There's no in-between ground, and there's very little negative ground. It's just a matter of loving mom. Just simply loving mom. It's been said before that as the homes go, so go the nation. I believe that that's being proven out today. Mothers have, historically and biblically, had the major part in the direction of the home and the children. Mothers have, biblically and historically, had the major part in the direction of the home and the family or the children. Titus chapter 2, Paul gives to Titus some instructions, and in the second chapter he gives to Titus a very, very short but detailed summary of what a woman's life is to entail. You can read it for yourself later on. But in the course of those few verses there that's talking about the life of a woman, we would translate that over to a mother, probably even over to a grandmother. But in that little portion of the scripture, there's something that is said there about teaching. That the older are to teach the younger. That there is an instructional part to a mom's life or a woman's life. When you look at it, the mom that does the best with her children probably spent the most time instructing her children, teaching. I think some of those things were mentioned, those very words were mentioned in testimonies this morning about Miriam. The instructional part. It's not just a matter of being best friends to the child when they're growing up, but it's the instructional part. And moms, you could probably say amen real loud that sometimes that's the most difficult thing to do. The most difficult portion to take care of. We've heard a lot about the Proverbs 31 woman, haven't we? Somewhere along the line you've picked that up, either in writings, in some kind of articles or books, or maybe even preaching. You know, that Proverbs 31 woman is a pretty high platform to press for, to reach for. Verse number 28, though, of that. Let me just go there. I have it open here. Let me read some of these verses. Verse 26, beginning. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. I think that there probably has something to do with teaching as well. She has to have some wisdom in order to teach. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. One of these kids said that there wasn't any spare time. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. We've heard this morning that children haven't always called mom blessed because of those details that ran against the teenage grain. But the older they get, as Mary has mentioned, the older they get now, past those years, looking back, they recognize the value that has been there. Moms, in the midst of teaching and training, especially you younger moms that are still working so diligently at the job with little children, sometimes it may seem to be fruitless, never ending. And it may seem as though you're building a wedge between you and your child. Continue to teach them and to instruct them. They will rise up and call you blessed. Verse number 30, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. See, there's a whole lot of things in life that are not caught. They are only taught. They are not caught. We think sometimes that well, just by our actions, they're going to pick up on it and they're going to follow. Yes, some things are that way. Some things are that way. My wife is more and more like her mom on things that didn't have to be taught just because the same blood runs through their veins. Some things just didn't have to be taught to her. My mother-in-law has a knack of throwing away valuables. She actually threw away a $100 bill before. Is that a valuable item or not? She threw away a $100 bill. Fortunately, it was before they realized it, before the trash man came and picked up the trash. But here's my mother-in-law down there at the trash bin going through the trash bags. And she found it. You know what happened this week? Sister Gordon gave my checks on Wednesday to my wife. I asked her about it the next day, and it dawned on her. Oh, I think I threw those away. Yeah, you got it right. That's where they were found, out in the trash barrel. Fortunately, they didn't light the match. You know, some things don't have to be taught. It's just there. It's amazing. Of course, now I know my wife's sitting back there thinking, yeah, and you're just like your dad, too. Try as we might, we can't get away from some things. But there are some things that must be taught. And that's what the Bible is telling us, that moms, you have a big responsibility in teaching others, teaching your children. How many of you first-time moms, especially your first-time moms, have worked ever so diligently on that first child to teach them their ABCs before anybody else's kid learned their ABCs? She knows her ABCs. How old is she? Oh, she's barely two. Yeah, there's a good bit of pride in that. Now, the second one comes along, and they're usually too busy to press that hard. Well, the third one, you know, they're fortunate to have their ABCs memorized before they go to kindergarten. But that first one, boy, they're just all pressed right in there. Sometimes they even work on those ABCs before they're born, or reading. Some people even read Dr. Seuss to them before they're born. You know, it's an instructional, it's a natural thing for moms to teach, and they're wanting to. They're wanting to make them learn, teach them how to read before anybody else's child ever learned to read. At that age, you know, just let them go to it. There's a good measure of pride in that. I mean, it's a nice feeling. I'm not talking about a bad pride. It's a good thing for moms to teach their children how to do the chores. I know the biggest issue about doing chores is that it's easier to do them myself. How many of us have ever said that about teaching somebody else? It's just easier for me to go do that by myself. If I had to follow you up and do it afterwards, it's not worth my... You know, we just... But the point of the matter is, we have to teach them so that they too become a diligent person, a respectable person. You see, when we get to the point where it's easier to do it ourselves and that becomes our model rather than teaching them, then the passing on is void or is empty. And we fail to pass the proper things on. Another aspect of teaching moms is that you teach your girl how to be a lady. And what a lady is. And though sometimes it's hard for us men to understand it or to accept it, moms have a tremendous responsibility in teaching their son how to be a man, which then quite often comes from our example. Because she then can point to dad and say, see there? Now, as Benjamin was testifying, I was standing here thinking about it. Mom taught him stuff? Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it really quite often ought to be and is. Moms have a tremendous responsibility. But there's a whole lot of other stuff, too, that is to be taught to them. You know, it's the everyday stuff. Just the simple things of life. The common. But one of the greatest things, moms, that you have to teach to your children is found in that 30th verse of Proverbs 31, that you teach the children the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is told to us in Scripture is the beginning of wisdom. That's the basis of everything. The fear of the Lord. Now, sometimes we think about the fear of the Lord as this trembling aspect that we get in front of an all-powerful person, an all-powerful God, and He's almighty, and He holds the keys of our lives in the palm of His hands. And if we do something wrong, He could strike us dead. You know, sometimes we think about the fear of the Lord as that is that aspect of it. And, you know, we have to understand that that is a vital part, that He is awesome in His power. That if we just simply obey Him and walk with Him, there's no need to have the trembling fear. It's a respectful fear that we are His servant or His subject, or that we are His follower, wanting to please Him. And when His heart is saddened because of something in our life, we're not trembling out of fear, but we say, Lord, I want to adjust that to align myself with what You want, so that You do smile on my life. Can somebody tell me who Jochebed was in the Scriptures? Did this person have any children? Moses. And Miriam and Aaron. It's found in the book of Exodus. Jochebed was apparently a God-fearing woman. Just if you let your mind wander as much as I do about stuff like this, how in the world did she raise Moses to be such a God-fearing person when she only had him for such a short period of time? And yet that training that she apparently gave him was enough to counteract all the evil influences of a rich lifestyle that he went to live in. A rich lifestyle, a fluency that should have, by all standards, destroyed his faith in God. Just at ministerial convention this week, I was listening to Brother Snyder from Hope Sound talking about church history, and over again he seemed to bring out, or at least several times he brought out, that affluence in the church usually destroyed the spiritual aspect of the church. Affluence, wealthiness, or richness, or comfortableness even. Moses went from a slave home into the home of the master, the greatest master in the land of Egypt. He had everything at his fingertips. And yet somehow the training of his mother, Jochebed, propelled him beyond all of that. How about Hannah? Did Hannah have any children? How many children did Hannah have? Anybody know how many children Hannah had? Five? One? Did somebody say one? She had Samuel, and that's the only one named. But later on it says that she's the mother of seven. So I don't know if that's seven beyond Samuel, but I think that's in what, 1 Samuel chapter 1 or chapter 2. We don't know anything about the other children, but we know quite a bit about Samuel. And we know a little bit about what transpired before she conceived Samuel. And she pled with God that she would be allowed to have children. And so God allowed her to have a child by the name of Samuel. And she had it purposed in her heart that she was going to turn him over to serve God at a very early age. And so once again we find this happening, that the training that Samuel received from his mother Hannah helped him to stand against so much of the wickedness that was even in the temple during his upbringing. You know, he had to go against his what should have been his heroes, Eli's boys, Hophni and Phinehas. You know, these boys should have been his heroes. He should have been able to look up to them. You know, they apparently had some power. Don't kids, especially little boys, look up to the people that are in society that have power? Or at least they appear to have power. You know, and I think about Samuel being in that environment. How in the world could he have survived? How in the world could he have managed? And I have to go back and point to a very serious portion of his life from his mother's training. Now, how long that was? Was it, you know, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 12 years? Difference in opinion as to what that may have been, how long of time that may have been. But even if it was as much as 12 years, how many of us, honestly speaking, how many of us, moms or dads, have been successful at training our children that they could withstand even the slightest temptation by the time they are 12 years old? If it does nothing else, it ought to stir us to realize that we have a huge responsibility. Moms have a tremendous responsibility placed upon their shoulder to be a trainer of her children, a teacher of her children. You see, training or teaching means more than just simply saying, repeat after me, A, B, C, D, E. Here's what they look like, A, B, C, D, E. It's more than that. You see, training involves taking the general happenings of the day and using them to instill the principle of God within their heart. And the thing that stands out the most is that Hannah and Jochebed both did it without God's Word. And yet you and I have God's Word. How is it to be done? It's to be done with consistency and a loving heart. Whether it's in discipline or instruction or in follow-up of either one. And sometimes all of that has to be done repeatedly. Repetition. I don't know how many of you can say that you've had multiple whippings in one day. I'd be afraid to take a guess at how many I've had at my highest day. I know that it was a number of them. I'm sure that it was more than I could count on one hand, all in one day. And the likelihood would be pretty great as well that all of them had to do with the exact same thing. You see, I had a real good forgetter. As soon as the whipping wore off, I was back to doing it again. Or as soon as the weariness of sitting in the chair wore off, or as soon as my eyes adjusted from sitting in the dark cellar stairs, wore off, you know, back to the same old, same old. But the repetition, I believe, finally made it through. Of course, getting married helped out too. Sometimes we have to marry older women so that they can teach their child what to do. Moms, it's a big responsibility. But if you follow what the writer in Proverbs said, the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord, she shall be praised. You follow God, you fear God, you trust God, and you instill that same respect and reverence to God in your children's heart and life. Believe that they will rise up and call you blessed. Moms, happy Mother's Day. And may the Lord's blessing be upon you today and give you a great day in Christ. Let's stand together.